This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, this is the crossover brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every single day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Mark Willard, Dan Dibley, Evan Giddings, and for Matt Steinmetz, Joe the Guru Johnson. What's up, boys? What's going on?
We've been talking a lot of football.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that, yeah.
Football. It's just hitting me.
It's a little frightening.
Whoa, I appreciate that honesty. No,
it's a little frightening. Rob.
But like, that's nice. Before we get to that.
Okay, what you got?
Guru, we got to talk, man.
Oh, boy.
We have to have a conversation around these parts.
Oh, boy.
Hope it's not about knockout.
Look me in the eye.
That's exactly
what it's about.
Because Myers just sent me a text about yesterday. I had to answer that.
Look me in the eye.
Okay, I'm looking dead in the eye.
Everybody around here loves you. You are one of the most infectious personalities and people that any of us have ever met. The listeners of this station, they love you. Everybody,
I believe you believe half of this, Willard.
You.
But why do you got to break this out? Where are we going?
Because I want you to. You got to stop tying. You got to stop tying your self-worth to this free throw. This one free throw that you shoot one time.
It's actually been two.
Why not 12 months? Every 12 months, you shoot one free throw. And if it doesn't go in, it means that your whole world has fallen apart.
The offensive rebound also.
Please.
That was the worst part. But I hear you.
My man.
I got you, Will. Oh, I'm hugging you from over here.
Even Steph misses a free throw.
But it was bigger than that.
My man, look at me.
I got you.
Goodwill Hunting. Yeah. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
But when you hit the 50 burger, you take your athletic feats or the ones you're trying to reach and milestones to another level. And I tried to relive my high school life. I was on the bench in high school. I got in when we were that young. But I tried to get all that back with the free throw. And I drove home and parked the caddy. And I said, even if you would have won it, you didn't score 30 at Rucker Park, goo.
Right.
It was a free throw. So I am cleansed.
It's a free
Myers texted me, said, "What? I just saw what happened." Laughing smile face. I missed.
You missed
it. Let me go. I missed it.
You're a something-year-old man.
Bob Myers.
And you missed a free throw.
I just stick
with it. I love you for this.
Okay.
I put Bob Myers' free throw percentage in college.
Imagine if Jonathan Kuminga felt this way when he missed a free throw.
Willard's my guy.
He'd be emotionally cratered for the whole. Like, dude, you missed a free throw. That's it.
What's scary, real quick, Willard.
And a putback.
What's scary is it was knockout, and it was a free throw contest, but this is where I'm going. But it was something else to me, and I need to find out what. It was bigger than what was going
on. Why?
I can't get my glory. Shout out Denzel back from the days. It's over. And I think that's why I'm shooting hoop at any 24-hour fitness that'll let me in, is I'm searching for something.
You're like Kevin Durant on the free agent market right now, man.
Stop
searching and just be. You got a good life, man. And so you missed a free throw. And then, and we're going to do it again next year. And I want you to stop,
because
I feel like you've already had a talk with yourself about next year.
Hey,
we got 364 days to go, and I'm going to be ready.
Oh, no,
that's literally the first thing he said when he got back to the booth. Yeah.
But there were talks about me walking away, Dibs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stay up in. Like what I did to you. You had to change your schedule.
Don't go Brett
And the line
far.
Of the day I mean, was, I thought I was going to, I'm walking up the stairs, and I hear Dibs on the mic. I thought I was going to be here with you longer.
Yeah.
Those are the things that hurt.
I had to rapid fire my takes. Yeah. I mean,
about to get into something.
Yeah, I was starting to get comfortable with Evan, and you know, he and I haven't done a lot of radio together.
This hurts,
and I admire Evan a lot, and I was kind of looking forward
excited.
To
it. You were excited. I saw you when I left.
I was excited, yeah. You know, I tapped you out, and you went down there, and you were getting loose, and I thought you were in heat three, and so I thought I had like 45 minutes or so. I thought that I was going to be able to stretch out, and then all of a sudden, you got eliminated, and here you come trudging up the stairs, and I was like, Evan.
No. Where to go? Just walking aimlessly.
I got like four takes. I need to get off.
Willard, I love you, man. I'm over it.
It was like the pitch clock in baseball when you go to get popcorn and you have to wait in the line. You came back. Well, go, damn, this goes fast.
Yeah.
Even Bob heard about it.
Well, you know, social media is a big thing. So anyway. Everybody still loves you.
No, I appreciate it.
And like you know,
no
what?
One didn't before.
That's my point. But it's okay. You miss a free throw. You actually probably.
But
do
I'm it, searching for something.
But you probably do a lot better in the damn tournament if you didn't care so much. I'm sick for real.
Austin and San Jose. Guru elimination sensation.
It's an elimination sensation.
Wow, Austin.
Honestly, it's not about the free throw. It's about you and the mic and drill. And I don't know if you know about the mic and drill, but the mic and drill is where you do a layup on one side, a layup on the other side. Layup,
all day. We did SCYO, Eddie House.
You do 50 straight layups, putbacks, and I'll never forget watching Dan Hunt at Drake High School in 82 doing the mic and drill, 6'7", future state champ. I'm like, what's going on here? And somebody told me, it's the mic and drill. And had you done the mic and drill, you wouldn't have missed the putback. It's not the free throw that got you. It was the putback, and I just was watching the video before the show. Your free throw was good. It was bounce, 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 bounce.
Stop it, dude.
You got the rebound, and then...
But I'm just telling you, I'm black, but everything went black. Once I got that rebound, it was over.
Yeah.
You could have had 10 rims. I was done, Evan. Yeah. Pressure got to me.
Look, sometimes you go in for the smooch, and the person doesn't kiss you back. That was the rim on that play. But
you got
to be there to clean it up, all right? You got to bounce back. Exactly.
Thank you, Willard. But so, back to the Niners.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
All right. Okay. I got you.
Missed a free
throw. You're going to be okay. By the way,
he missed a bunny.
Well, no,
the free throw.
Let's say.
He missed
a bunny.
Well, because he was asking afterwards, you know. What was I expecting to happen? If I won it all, you know, what was I going to do?
I can answer that question.
Right, what
were you expecting? You should be expecting nothing.
Okay.
Just expect
that's
nothing.
That's what Grandy got. He got the same trophy he won last year.
Yeah, but look how smug he is over there. He's back-to-back Drake.
Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Yeah, a lot of smug going around here.
Yeah. Niners, where you guys at? Will, for you to say,
I think it's scary. I think the whole thing.
I appreciate that honesty.
The whole thing is really scary right now because if you just sort of trace this back to last year, it feels to me like the 49ers, and I get it. You know, you come that tantalizingly close to a Super Bowl, and then when you lose it, that's what drives all your decisions all off season long. Which is we're right there, and we just. And then you look at what they did, and it's a restructure of Debo, and it's a give Brandon a contract that, damn it, come on, we knew the second he signed it. I came in here at this chair, and I went, well, that was dumb. What the hell are you doing? I don't even understand why the wide receiver market is what it is, let alone that the Niners are in it for a player who's very good but is not a top 5-7 receiver in this game. So why did you do that? Because you're so tantalizingly close that you let that run your actions. And then Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and the whole list. And then what you get is 6-11. And then we come back the following year. Debo for a song. You're taking calls on Brandon Ayuk. And you're having press conferences openly talking about changing the financial structure as you get ready to sign your quarterback. But, oh, by the way, send all the reporters out there to be like, by the way, that's not guaranteed either. Not sure what's going on with the quarterback. I think that this is a really scary few months to see what it is the 49ers are actually cooking up.
I like that. Go ahead, Dibs. I can't wait, but that was honesty.
It is, and I mean, if you look at like all the other wide receivers around the league, guys who are either going to get cut or traded, and you make these deals, and you Amari Cooper, a guy who probably will get either cut or traded, Devontae Adams, he's now out there, out and about, and all these other teams that have these wide receivers, Cooper Kupp. You think that the Rams don't think that he's good? Of course they do, but he's making too much money. So in the NFL, you get these contracts, and it works out or it doesn't short term, and then you have to make the cap hit. You got to eat the cap, and you got to make the move and get rid of these players. But the Debo one, we all saw coming. Last year, we all talked about how in a year, they probably won't have both Brandon and Debo on the team. But you restructured Debo, and you signed Brandon. Brandon got hurt. Debo got restructured, and now you don't want Debo anymore. You trade him, and now you have to eat more than $30 million on the cap for Debo, and Brandon won't play. So, like, what's your approach here, Niners? And I know that Mark and I will get into it about how much money they want to lay out in total cash. And Jed York, the owner, has been really forthright about giving everyone money. You know, you got Christian, restructure. Trent, restructure. Brandon, big contract. Brock Purdy's going to get a big contract. All this money going out. You were 6-11. So at some point, if you're the owner and you're the one who has to open up the vault, you have to say, enough. Enough is enough. Like, we got to do something different here.
Well, that's what I think is interesting about the messaging from Lynch and from the front office. It's almost like they're talking like they have a ton of time. And when you start losing games, your life expectancy as an executive shrinks. And so the fact that they're talking about moving forward with Brock, but on their terms, or, you know, we got to be a little more careful. You know, it's all these problems are kind of a result of the holes that they dug with all these albatross deals in the first place. They can't just wish them away and bring in new players. So it's going to take multiple drafts, I think. It's going to take time. And I just wonder if, you know, again, like, does John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, by extension, feel like they have a lot of time because people want results? I think they're going to be better next year, mainly by virtue of their schedule. Yep.
But they earned that time to me. As much as I throw rocks at them, they've built something. They didn't cash in. We talked about it. But they've earned. The people are calling here like they've done nothing. And I'm like, that's where it gets unfair.
No, I don't think they've done nothing. But this idea that they're bulletproof to me is also a little bit wishful.
Well, that might be from the fans' perspective, maybe even some of the media's perspective. I don't think it's Jed's perspective. I do think they have some time. I don't think that there's any hot seat thing going on there. Now, if they take this schedule they've got this year and they rock another 6 or 7 wins, then we're going to be having a different conversation. What scares me, though, anytime you hear a professional sports team publicly start talking about money, I get really uncomfortable as a fan. Like, you look at even what the Warriors have done. At one point, they're just like, look, we want to reset the apron. And then they do. And then even within that year, you acquire Jimmy Butler, you sign an extension, and you head out for the hills to be like, we're spending again. Like, when you tell me, and I don't know how many people saw this, but two different reporters yesterday who are tapped in, I think, both when Debo goes and you hear rumors of Brandon, and then Devontae Adams gets released. And you hear reporters go, I hear that the 49ers are really happy with their receiver room. They don't think they need another one. And you know who they really, really like? Tariq Owens. They actually really like Tariq. When you start doing that, Cal Kami said it. When you start doing that, you start feeling very San Francisco Giants-ish to me.
No doubt.
They like, don't sell me on Lamont Wade is going to be a great player.
You sound like the birds that flew over Kmart. Cheap, cheap, cheap.
Nice. That's a four. That's a solid four.
No, it's bad for fans whenever you are openly talking about needing to be saving money.
Wow. And what I've told Evan, and you guys just tell me what you think, what I don't like just across the board in sports is when you have the track record of Lynch and Kyle in regard to what you built and the contracts that now look faulty and you're second guessing. And Evan, we talked about it. I want somebody to come in this studio or even call, maybe tomorrow, before the weekends, and tell me which one you would have said, I'm not giving you the bread, especially the one when I start with the running back, McCaffrey. I would have sent him a Zelly. I would have sent him a Cash App. Whatever you need, you got. And the Warriors and the Niners did that. It backfired. Trent Williams. And it goes on and on. But what I'm telling Evan and what I'm going to leave here today with is I don't like when the Niners now are acting like they got punked in these negotiations and now all of a sudden we're going to be renegades and the next one. I don't, like, just show us. Don't talk about it.
Right.
And they haven't technically said that, but who would you have done something different? The guys you paid deserve to get. Okay, that was Evan's answer.
Ayuk, and that's the way it went. Right. And you drafted Pearsall, and still, when push came to shove, you caved. You could have traded him. You didn't, and you got down to the nitty-gritty, and you get a little nervy. You get a little nervy, Parag, and you gave him the bag, and that was a mistake, Evan.
Wow. I never thought about this before, but now looking back on it, what are the dates of when Ricky was shot and Brandon was signed? I want to look back at that.
Brandon was signed before he got shot, though.
Was he?
I'm the guru computer.
For sure you found out that on 95.7 The Game, which you're listening to, KGMZ FM and HD1 in San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It doesn't change the fact, though, that, I mean, they basically paid him to just keep the band together.
Wow.
You know, and again, we were just kind of hypothetically throwing out, like, of the three guys, Brandon Ayuk's the one that, if it all happens this offseason, is not getting paid. You might still look at Christian McCaffrey as indispensable. You might still looking at Trent Williams as indispensable. Some of the deals that they've made, because Goo, I think, pointed out appropriately, like, we weren't saying this at the time. Ayuk's the only one that you could look at and say, in his own words, I'm a fourth option in a run-first offense. That doesn't sound indispensable to me. That doesn't sound like a $30 million player. And yet the Niners still caved. They still gave in.
Why?
They gave him the money. Well, they gave it to him because they felt like they needed him to be at a Super Bowl caliber level. They paid to keep the band together, and then the band fell apart.
Wow.
I mean, that's the way that I read it.
Yep. Ayuk signed 2 days before Pearsall.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of it breaks apart what had crossed my mind, which was, did the Pearsall shooting make them blink? I don't know what made them blink.
I think what Evan just said is exactly right. Yep. They felt like with Debo and with Juwan and Ayuk and McCaffrey, we didn't know then that he would not play more than just a couple of games.
Oh,
you thought that you had all your five eligibles, you had your best guys ready to go, and Kittle and Trent. We didn't know about Trent in his personal travails, which were tragic, and Mooney Ward and all the rest of it. You thought Drake Greenlaw would come back sooner, whatever you thought. You thought, okay, Brandon and Debo, Christian and George and Juszczyk and Juwan and the rookie Pearsall, man, we are loaded for bear. We can make this run. And well, everything went kind of south for everyone.
I think they probably thought they might be able to trade the contract, in a year. And then there are teams that they might be shopping to right now. It's a lot harder to do that now that he's hurt. But I'm sure you didn't see his value taking a freaking dive off the cliff. I mean, the other part is, I mean, the wide receiver, I think wide receivers were more tradable last year, or they were more valued last year. This last year was, the year of the running back. And Saquon Barkley now is the first $20 million running back. Derrick Henry is revived. It's like, wide receivers are, a year later, are far less important, it does appear. And maybe to your point, Willard, last offseason is where the bubble bursts for the wide receiver market, and Brandon Ayuk is kind of the face of it.
I definitely think so, although it wasn't even just, like, Brandon might be the face of it, but if you look around the league, cost-benefit analysis, you look at what the Cowboys paid and what they got out of that.
CD.
I guess Justin Jefferson, to me, that's kind of a set-aside. But also look at how successful the Kansas City Chiefs have been the second they didn't pay Tyreek Hill and move him along. I mean, you could do this up and down the league. I would argue.
I think Buffalo is a good example, too.
Yep, they decided to just move on from their high-priced guys. And so, again, I'm not here to say receivers aren't valuable and that they're not going to get paid.
But
the fact that they're essentially out there dancing around as the second highest paid player in the game, or third. It's pass rushers and receivers are side by side. That's ridiculous.
And Barkley gets this new contract, and it's easy for me to say, and a guy making nothing, saying it's peanuts, because we all know what he brought to the Eagles and what he fixed. And that contract today for the Barry Sanders is just like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I mean,
come on. But running backs matter. I got that from Evan. But come on, man. That just bothers me.
Look up and down the league, and I'm not even – this might now tilt it too far in the other direction. But last year in the league, everybody wanted to pay their receiver. What did they really get out of that? Now, the Eagles paid their receivers. I don't know how much that had to do with them winning. Saquon feels like the main reason Philly was better this year. All of the running backs that were cast aside – there's a whole list of them.
Oh, my gosh.
From Saquon to Derrick Henry to Joe Mixon, and we could go on and on.
Jacobs.
Absolutely. They're all over the league, and almost all of them went to the playoffs.
That's man.
For $10 million bucks, and you're out here paying $35 for your wide receiver?
Would you do me a favor before we get out of here? And I didn't run this by you.
I can try.
I know two things are going to happen. We'll never see Bigfoot. And can you play the Schefter sound in regard to Brock possibly playing this year out on the – listen to this.
Yes, I can.
All right.
The Niners, if they don't sign Brock Purdy this offseason, and here's a team that really is up against it financially, if they don't sign him – and Brock Purdy obviously is going to want to get a deal done, and the Niners would want to get a deal done. But the issue is he's scheduled to make $5.1 million this season. He then could be tagged after next season for $41 million. He could be tagged the season after that for $51 million. So if you don't get a deal done with Brock Purdy and you're the Niners, and again, this would not be what Brock Purdy would want, I would imagine. Certainly not what his agent would want. He would play for $5 million this year, $41 million next year, $51 million the year after. You're talking about $97+ million over the next 3 years, which for most people would be incredible money, but not for a quarterback who's waiting to get paid. And so the Niners have a bit of a cap issue, cash issue. And so they can't put Brock Purdy necessarily where he might be. They can go to a certain level. They'd want to pay him, but it's not going to be, I would imagine, quite as high as most people think.
So no Bigfoot, in no way they would. If you really want to be Billy Badass wow. Dibs and tell me everything's changed, you would say show up to work and he can hold out. But that would never happen, right?
Never say never.
Or has the 6-11 changed? If you guys are right about this bitterness in regard to the contract.
You're saying what would never happen?
The Niners saying, franchise Brock, tagging. We want franchise. We want to play this year out on $5 million.
No way. To me, this is a complete negotiating ploy. Like someone called Schefter. Right? And they're like, say this, please. Here's the script. Say this. And this is them trying to chill Brock and his agent out.
Okay. Come on, man.
I mean,
he saved their jobs.
Did we really overnight go from you're the big badass, Jed York led San Francisco 49ers, multiple Super Bowl trips in the last 6 years, and the most cap space in the league for this season? Did we go from that and overnight? You sound like the Raiders.
Right.
How many times do we have to listen to the Niners are cash strapped? No, you're not. What? What are we talking about here? No, I don't read that way at all. Again, I go back to what you just said earlier, and we've said a few times. Niners are tired of losing the deal, and they don't want to lose this one. So this is the narrative they're going to go with.
Real quick, Dibs, how much of losing the deal is bad luck? They didn't know McCaffrey was going to, unless you sent him to Kaiser. They didn't know Trent was going to, the money made sense at the time. They got bad luck. So I guess, Willard, I just got a problem with people calling it a bad deal because at the time, everybody was status quo. Dibs deserved that. Now, have we been able to look at a crystal ball and see you miss 8 games? Or IU getting hurt? But I think it's a bunch of bad luck.
Well, I think the IU deal was a bad deal because you paid too much money for a guy who's not a top 5, a top 8
that
receiver.
That one, okay.
Forget whether or not he got hurt, you don't use receivers like that. So that was a bad deal. And you gave Debo a restructure, and then you realized a year later that you wanted to trade him or he wanted out, and you agreed. And so you restructured him, and you front-loaded a lot of money that is now going to be a cap hit. And Trent Williams, you restructured him, and he's 36, going to be 37. So was that a bad deal? It sure looks like it. And McCaffrey, he's a guy who's had an injury history, and then you gave him a restructure, and he was the highest paid running back until earlier today. And so he's a guy who also got hurt, an older player, an older running back. So I don't just look at the injury and say, well, that's just bad luck. You put money into positions you don't really need that much, and older players, you get what you get.
Wow.
Yeah, I just wonder if last year was the last dance.
Wow, man.
What does that make this season?
That would make last year a Super Bowl or bust. We don't want to say that.
There's an entire offseason ahead.
No doubt.
These are, to me, these are narratives. They are ploys. These are not actions yet. These are words. And I don't suddenly think that the 49ers are out on the streets crying poor.
Sam Cook said a change gonna come. So there will be some changes. We'll see.
They're trying to re-grab the perceived control of their organization, which I think they think got a little out of control the last two off seasons.
Well,
that's what it feels like to me.
It's going to be a big draft for the Niners.
No, huge. Oh my gosh. Huge. How many picks?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to say 11.
72.
An awful lot.
And I don't know if all the comp picks have been assigned yet. So and, you know, they got some comp picks coming in, but they're probably going to have between 10 and 12 or 13 picks. And, you know, they've been better in that third round and later. So can you hit on your first round pick, your second round pick? Do you trade back and get more picks? This feels to me more and more like a year where you want more picks than you want high picks, because you need bodies.
Yeah. And Bosa needs help.
Yes, they do. Well, it's been a fun show, Goo. Yeah. Let these guys lock in. Warriors Live coming up at 3:30.
3:30 Warriors Live.
Oh, you guys are early day. Yeah.
These East Coast trips, man, they're rough on us. They're rough on us. We got to do this 90-minute show. It's crazy.
I love it.
Right on.
Crazy.
Talk to you same time, same place tomorrow. Wilden Dibs coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Goo, let me just give you one piece of advice. When you miss, because you will miss.
Oh, Evan told me.
You get that rebound quick. Unlike last year, and you put it back up.
No doubt about it.
And then you go to the back line if you make the layup.
No doubt. Not planning on being on the back of the line a few times.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's do this. There we go. Warriors get the get right win. They are in New York to take on the Knicks, and we got big names with questionable tags. In Karl Anthony Towns and Steph Curry, we expect that breaking news to happen during our show. So be with us along the ride, because, yes, Warriors Live is an hour and 15 minutes away. Tip-off will be at 4:30 here on 95.7 The Game. We do have some Dub stuff to get to. The Western Conference changed again last night, so we'll have that. But, yes, we'll start off by talking about these 49ers, because, all of a sudden, Dibs, they've got me very scared. And I do think these are just words, and they are negotiating ploys. But at the same time, what I don't know is to what level are you going to let those words guide your decision-making? It's just me, but I don't like it in the off-season whenever I'm a fan of a team that comes out and starts talking about how money is a problem and we need to start doing a lot less when it comes to money. That is not what any fan wants to hear and I did not think I'd be hearing it anytime soon from the San Francisco 49ers.
I understand that, but it is the reality of a salary cap league, and it's different when the Giants come out and say, you know, we're just trying to break even. That's offensive on a number of different levels, especially when the Dodgers are shelling out hundreds of millions of dollars to everyone who has a pulse and maybe has played baseball once in their life. So that's a little bit different because, you know, the Giants are allowed to, with the big development they have down there, the multi-billion dollar development, they're probably doing okay financially. So that's an uncapped league. It's a little bit of a different feel. The Warriors and Joe Lacob, he's spent more money than any other team in the history of the association. So even this year where they talk about getting below the second apron, okay, we're going to give you a year to save money because you've spent more in luxury tax than any other team in history has ever spent. And you've won rings, so that's great. But for the Niners, I do think that, and you and I have had this conversation many times about the cap, and you've always said cap schmap, and you're right because you can maneuver. You can manipulate, you can massage, but it feels like now, and you said this during in the green room during the pre-show, like it feels like now ownership is saying enough of like me picking up your mistakes by, you know, repurposing contracts and giving out big cash bonuses. It feels more now like they're saying enough is enough with all these bad contracts.
And again, I've never met Jed York, but most billionaires that I've watched in sports think about these things the same way, which is when they are good owners, they'll say yes a lot. Yeah, you want to extend our payroll? Answer's yes. Go win. And when you go to NFC title games and your quarterback's arm falls off, or when you go to the Super Bowl and you lose in overtime, the owner is like, you're right there. So yes, let's keep saying yes. And then you come back to the owner the next offseason and you're like, right, so we went 6-11.
Yeah.
And we finished in fourth in our division. That's when the owner's going to be like, what the hell am I paying for? What are you doing? I'm not here for games at the end of the year where the stands are half empty because you all punted on this whole thing already. I'm not here on December 30th so that when the Lions come to town for a massive Monday night game, we're actually just sitting here with our phones out looking at our fantasy scores because the final score of the game doesn't matter. And half of the crowd is like, you know, it'd be better if we lost this game, actually.
Exactly.
I was there. Nobody cared.
Yep.
It was this campy little feeling of like, well, there's a lot of points being scored. This is fun. Like, oh, God. If I'm Jed York, I broke off Brandon Ayuk. What?
Yeah.
For what? So I get it. But the bottom line is, for fans, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. It's not what you want to hear. And my hope is that what the 49ers are trying to do is this is their play to try to get a couple of the contracts to fall in the bucket that they would like it to fall in, as opposed to being a team who actually has suddenly decided, nope, it's time to clip and trim and save and sell a piece of the team and all of these things. And that's what we've gotten a flow of so far. We thought that February and March would be about the buildup to the draft and a Brock Purdy contract extension. And instead, we've gotten an all-time favorite Niner shipped out for a fifth-round pick. We've got reporters saying that everybody on the roster is available. And oh, by the way, your quarterback might have to do double franchise tags for the next 2 years, which are all leverage plays.
Yeah.
But so I'll go with that until I know otherwise, but this is not the narrative that I want to hear right now.
I get that, and I don't think that they're going to go that route with Brock Purdy, and I, you know, listen to Adam Schefter, and he's talking about the contract, and because Brock Purdy's made Pro Bowls now, that the number that he is on the books for, 1.1, is actually $5 million, so he gets $5 million, and then if you do back-to-back franchise tags, and, you know, Evan played the sound, and it works out to be about almost $100 million over 3 years, which is $33 million per year, less than what many people think he would get, which is 50 or 55 or who knows what he would get. So it's definitely a leverage play. And we talked about this last year where the team could use the franchise tag as a threat. You could have him play this year on $5 million, and then you could franchise him twice, and that works out to be about $100 million total. And you could do that, but I don't think that they will. And that is something that Cincinnati does. And they did that to T. Higgins. Yeah. So now he's going to play on the franchise tag for a second straight year. And he's probably not happy about it. You'd rather have a long-term deal than something that is concrete and set in stone. And so if you're the Niners, do you want to do that to your quarterback, the most important player on your team? That's not the way a good team goes about doing its business.
Of course not. And so my read on this, I think, is the same as yours, which is that negotiations have started and both sides are digging in for something that might take a minute or two longer than they originally thought. Because, yeah, if I'm Brock's agent, why wouldn't you come in and be like, so Dak Prescott's there, so we'll go just north of that. That'll be fine.
Yeah, even Jordan Love,
yeah,
you know?
Right, because we're better than those. Well, I don't know if he's better than Jordan Love. He's definitely better than Dak Prescott. He's better than Trevor Lawrence. I'd be using those two deals.
Yeah, but we talked about the Jordan Love deal, which is 55 per year. Right. Like, would Brock take that right now?
Probably, but I don't think the Niners want to start their offer there.
Right.
So both sides are going to – this is the leverage that both have, right? Brock Purdy's going to say, so you suck without me, and
I'm really good.
I don't know what your other option is, and so you don't want me to be mad because, maybe I just won't show up this year, and then what are you going to do? And the Niners' leverage is what you just heard Adam Schefter say, and we'll play it again right now because I don't want to assume that nobody just showed up in the last 15 minutes.
Yep.
This is from the Pat McAfee show on ESPN earlier today, Adam Schefter.
The Niners, if they don't sign Brock Purdy this offseason, and here's a team that really is up against it financially, if they don't sign him, and Brock Purdy obviously is going to want to get a deal done, and the Niners would want to get a deal done. But the issue is he's scheduled to make $5.1 million this season. He then could be tagged after next season for $41 million. He could be tagged the season after that for $51 million. So if you don't get a deal done with Brock Purdy and you're the Niners, and again, this would not be what Brock Purdy would want, I would imagine. Certainly not what his agent would want. He would play for $5 million this year, $41 next year, $51 the year after. You're talking about $97+ million over the next 3 years, which for most people would be incredible money, but not for a quarterback who's waiting to get paid. And so the Niners have a bit of a cap issue, cash issue. And so they can't put Brock Purdy necessarily where he might be. They can go to a certain level. They'd want to pay him, but it's not going to be, I would imagine, quite as high as most people think.
It just makes me laugh. I don't buy it for a second. I don't buy any of it. It's a bunch of junk. That's the 49ers calling Adam Schefter and saying, look, here's the tone we'd like to strike. Boy, Brock, we love you. But oh, these financial problems we're having. What financial problems? Now all of a sudden, you're completely out of cash and you're strapped. So you're going to try to, like, appeal to Brock Purdy and be like, so, like, we love you, but you got to understand, we need to be able to put people around you now, so we're going to need you to maybe just be aware of our situation. And then, oh, by the way, let's casually drop in, just so you know, Brock, we do have the power to control you.
Yeah, facts.
For the next 3 years at $33 million a year.
Yep.
So
those are facts.
They're facts. Now, nobody wants that, though, because you could go that route, and then Brock says, I'm not playing, and now everybody loses. Now, everybody loses, starting with us. But that's the card, to me, that the 49ers just laid with this report.
Well, and that card has been there, and the fact that Adam Schefter is coming out with that report tells me that they're ready to play it, which also indicates to me that this extension that we all talk about is not that close to being a reality. And we talked about it before where, you know, both sides want this to happen. But if the team doesn't want to pay top dollar, and I get that, and whether or not they are cash strapped or cap strapped, I think that they are in terms of the salary cap. It's a little bit tighter than what we would have thought because what you're going to have to eat with Debo Samuel, you trade Debo and what you owe him accelerates to this year. And that takes up about half of what you had in your cap room. And you have 11 or 12 or 13 guys you want to draft and pay. So I don't think they have as much money as people would think that they would. So for Brock Purdy, yeah, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money, most of which will be down the road. But no matter what that is, you're probably going to have to restructure Kittle, and Juszczyk might be a cap casualty, and you got Fred Warner you might restructure.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of financial work that you have to do because you don't have as much cap room as you did before you decided to trade Deebo Samuel.
It's tough stuff. The bottom line is, in professional sports, if you're a team or a player, and you find a microphone, and you start talking to your fan base about money, it's not going to go over well. Period. Period. I mean, there was the off-season report with the Giants. Oh, like lower spending a little bit. Bleep you is the response of just about every fan. Bleep you. You know what? We'd like to save money, too. How about if the Tony's Pizza out there in right field would charge a little bit less for a slice of cheese? Right?
How about we stop instituting tariffs on our allies? I had to sneak that one.
Yeah, there's that. Right.
According to OverTheCap.com, the Niners have the largest dead cap hit this year in the NFL.
Sure, but then
that's a thing.
That's a thing. Yep. But they also still have space.
Not a lot.
But they've got space.
Yep.
We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. Your phone calls and any of this are always welcome. How does this make you feel, Niner fans, when you start hearing, oh, money, money, you know, the same thing you wake up thinking about every day? Now the Niners are saying that to you. 888-957-9570. Tell them what we see. We're coming to you. And Warriors Live is just over an hour away, and any minute now, we're going to find out if Steph Curry is going to play tonight. So stay right where you are on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I give you love. For anybody who was listening yesterday,
stay hot, Dibber.
I hope you didn't fade the Dibber last night.
No.
There's a bunch of things that happened. Your campy little Bethune-Cookman. Who are they playing? Bethune-Cookman?
They're playing Grambling, Mark.
Grambling.
Yep.
And you had Bethune minus the five.
That's right.
I took the lovely Christy to Splash after the knockout tournament.
Boop.
And we were watching the Dubs.
Thank you.
And if you haven't been to Splash yet, which is the sports bar and restaurant right next to Chase Center.
So good.
Right there on Thrive City Plaza. By the way, we rock the nachos. Damn.
Yeah?
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Really impressive. We've now eaten there twice, and I've come out with a grade A both times. Really good.
The smash burger that you and I shared
was
phenomenal.
It was phenomenal, but I wasn't hungry, so that was a bummer. This time I was hungry, and the nachos also smashed.
To the house.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
But anyway, they've got the scroll board underneath the TVs, which on a random Monday night had Bethune-Cookman and Grambling. So I'm watching this scroll around each time. And they got a big lead, and they're just getting closer. Here comes the fade, the Dibber.
Yeah, boy.
Nope, they held them off.
Yep.
And then the Warriors did the exact same thing, coughed their lead up, then ran away and covered. And oh, by the way, a little garbage time for Pat Spencer before the buzzer, and your on-air pick was Pat Spencer to register a bucket,
and
in 2 minutes, Pat went 1 for 1
Let's
for 2 points.
Let's go.
Don't fade the Dibber, pay the Dibber.
Green check mark, which is rare. I'm no Mark Grandy,
two-time
knockout champ, but things broke pretty well. Until the late college action, but we won't eat.
You shouldn't have brought that up. I was over here thinking you just went 3 for 3 for your whole night.
And some early horse racing today went against me. Breaking even.
Damn it.
How that goes.
That's actually a good day if you can break even.
Take Holy Cross in the 6.5 against Lafayette.
If you say it like that, I'm just not inspired. But anyway, we're going to go to the phones for a sec. But just
let's go to the phones.
Just because you brought up Grandy, for those of you who don't speak 95.7 The Game, we did have our knockout tournament yesterday, and our technical director and good friend here, Mark with a C, he won for the second year in a row. We've only done this event twice. He's won it both times. And I just want to take a moment because I slept on this and thought about it, Grandy. Dude, that's bananas. I want everybody to stop just for the, not for the, like, he can shoot a free throw, because he obviously can. He hasn't had a 30th birthday yet, so he moves still pretty spry.
Yep, yep.
So you got all that going for him. So it's not like we didn't know that you were a candidate. But we're talking, what was Lucas, what was it? It was at least 50 people in this event.
I think it was closer to 65.
So 65, just for randomness, like for random dumb luck,
right?
That's bananas that you won again. That's crazy. Like, the ball has to bounce your way a little bit. So for us to do this event twice and the same person wins both times, dude, I mean, both bravo and, like, buy a lotto ticket.
And there's strategy here.
No, I'm sure there is. No, it's not. But what I'm saying is it's both. Like, that's crazy that you won again. It really is. So bravo.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was great to knock you out at the end, too.
Yeah, that was...
Calf's doing all right.
By the way, it actually feels great today.
Wow, okay.
I'm thrilled. Like, it's still howling at me, but, like, I got way more mobility than I thought I was going to have.
Round two?
Give me a few more days.
Okay.
Give me a few more days, and yes, we'll get back out there.
I had more than one listener come up to me and say, oh, Grandy over Willard in the final? That thing was so rigged. It's just like the NBA.
It's not rigged.
Somebody, like, two different people are like, that thing was so rigged. Dude, and I was like, that is so funny.
I must have shot, how many free throws do you think we shot yesterday? Through the Heat and then through the finals. It had to be...
I'd say close to
25.
20. Close to 20.
25 too.
I think I think I missed twice. Two or three times. That's it.
Yeah, we go to the film.
And you like, dude, from the framework of my favorite line, Super Bowl or try again.
Yep.
I'm sorry if this doesn't land well with you, Grandy. I am so okay with second place. I am there's not an ounce of me that's like, damn it. I was like, that. How fun was that? Went all the way to the end.
Super fun.
And I think I missed like three times.
Yeah.
Great. Good for you, Grandy. Keep the trophy in there. It looks good in that room.
It was fun to watch. And I love the fact that it says 2023 knockout champion, even though last year I believe was 2024.
Well, we did it in November 2023.
Oh, we did?
Yep.
Okay. Well,
Lucas,
there you go.
Lucas, all that planning. And you didn't come up with another trophy?
We gave away a jersey.
Yeah, but to Grandy.
And tickets.
Like, I don't know.
It's actually funny. The week before, leading up to it, Grandy's like, you can just take this trophy. I don't want it. You can just get a new plaque and give it to this year's winner.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he? Oh, okay. So
there's no new plaque.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, somebody get a Sharpie and I'll write a 5 over the 3 and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
It was
a good day.
It was really fun to watch. And for the first time in my life, I actually was rooting for you, which was really uncomfortable because my motto going into yesterday, and I wasn't going to play. My legs are not where they should be. And you know,
I hate Mark Grandy.
That's a fact. And so I was thinking anybody but Grandy, and secondarily was anybody but Willard.
Right.
So when it came down to Grandy versus Willard, I had to choose. It's like, which of my children do I hate more?
Oh, I could answer that.
Well, it's Grandy.
Okay.
But it's close because I have to deal with you.
You do.
A lot more than I have to deal with him. But the smugometer of a Mark Grandy, I didn't want to see him win again.
But you have no idea what I would have done if I had won.
I mean,
you don't know what that year would have been like.
I could see you from the sidelines, and already you were out there. You were bouncing and like you were feeling yourself.
You got it.
You were feeling it.
You got to put the wings out a little bit when you knock someone out.
More than a little bit.
You have to put the wings out a little bit. It's just like your body just does that.
I don't know if you saw it, and we'll go to the phones here because people could give a crap about this.
But it was fun.
Grandy hit you with the night.
I know he did.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you saw that.
Next to him did I see it? It's all over Instagram for crying. Out loud.
Yeah,
I loved it.
You're all on Instagram, so.
Yeah, I loved it. Sure. Night me. Good job. Yeah.
It's kind of a soft night, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're going to do it.
Anyway,
let's.
Expected more.
Yeah.
Windsor.
888-957-9570. Hi, Telmo in the city. What are you doing, Telmo?
Well, I'm currently stocking up on maple syrup before the tariffs hit.
Oh.
I got a 2.5-year-old who's really into waffles these days, so I gotta make sure I'm stocked up on the good Canadian stuff before we have to start buying the second tier Vermont maple syrup.
It's a good thought. It's a good plan. That's a good way to be a planner because French toast is coming next for that kid too.
But a real quick aside, the best part about yesterday's tournament is once again hearing about how much Guru can ball all year, for him to prove otherwise in an actual physical basketball situation. He's probably listening right now. He's going to feel some type of way about it. Maybe next year, Goo. But anyways,
man,
to this Niners thing. Here's look. We heard it with Bosa. We heard it with Ayuk. Oh, just fans were like, just give him the bag. Give him whatever he wants. Give him the bag, right? And then it goes south, right? Bosa has 10 sacks and then 9 sacks, and he's still a factor, but not the way he was. And Ayuk, that just went nosedive completely south, and now people are like, well, the decisions the management's making. Here's the thing about Brock Purdy. We're talking about a franchise quarterback, right? And a franchise quarterback is like finding a wife or a spouse or a husband, whatever be it, right? You want to commit to that person. You can't bring the baggage from your failed relationships and your toxic exes and your crazy exes into that relationship, because it just won't work. So if you think that person is the long-term person, which in the NFL, the face of the franchise, a quarterback, is that person, you have to just go into it in good faith and believe that that's the one, and do whatever it takes to make that relationship successful. Because if you don't, if you go into it being petty about all the failed stuff in the past, it's not going to work anyways, and you're going to be back in the same situation, going through the same roster of quarterbacks, the same thing over and over. The Niners have a guy that's gone to an NFC Championship, a Super Bowl. Last year, he wasn't a bum. He still played well with, like, almost no weapons. So they need to figure out how to get the deal done, how to give him some weapons, how to move forward, and that's it.
Well, Telmo, this is an interesting call, and thanks for doing it, as always. Appreciate you. I don't know. I know we've sort of positioned it this way. I'm not trying to fully say that what the 49ers are potentially doing right now with Brock Purdy, if negotiations are indeed off to a rocky start, or if the two sides are far apart, which has been reported. I'm not saying they're necessarily just being reactive to Ayuk and Bosa the last two summers. Maybe they'd be doing this anyway, because this is the way the Niners behave. The Niners don't want to just be like, here's your deal, because we love you. Especially now, after the perception of losing a couple of deals. I don't even know if it's so much about the perception. I can tell you that I think it's their own perception that the Ayuk thing was awful. But they may be behaving this way either way. Either way. Like, the bottom line is, this is a really expensive deal, and the 49ers would like to save every dollar that they can. So I think that's why we're hearing what we're hearing. I don't really buy that the 49ers are, as Adam Schefter said, in some type of financial situation. No, they're not. They're fine. They're fine.
They're fine, but they're not in the spot that they would have been had they not paid Brandon Ayuk what they paid him, had they not done a Debo restructure and then went up and traded Debo. The fact that you traded Debo makes it a $32 million accelerated cap hit that hits you right now. So all that money you had, and last year during the year, they were number one in cap room. Well, now you get to the offseason, and all the contracts either roll over or don't roll over, and now you have the Debo cap hit that gets accelerated, and I'm looking at it from overthecap.com as they compute it, and you've got $28 million effective cap space, which is ahead of only about 15 teams. So you went from number one to kind of being square in the middle. And if you think about $28 million of effective cap space, well, Brock Purdy's going to eat up some of that. And I know his deal won't accelerate this year. If you sign him, his signing bonus will accelerate, and you can get some cap space by restructuring people like Kittle and Fred Warner and other contracts. And so you can create some cap space, but I do think they're in a little bit of a tougher spot cap-wise than they have been, and part of it is because of what you decided to do with Debo.
Yeah, one thing I would love to find out, because I'll openly tell you I don't know, when they talk about this, quote, financial situation, is it actually a cap problem or is it a cash flow problem? And these are two different things in the NFL The cap is obviously the thing that you can manipulate and has to come up against a certain number that is mandated by the NFL. The cash flow is the actual money that goes out in signing bonuses. And so when you have these massive payoffs and restructures, Jed York has been right near or at the top of the league the last few years in how much cash he's been willing to dole out to these great players to have these Super Bowl type runs. Well, you come off of a 6-11 year, and now you've got to potentially do the biggest cash handout of all because it's your quarterback. Jed might be in a mood to be like, how about less of that? And my perception is it's more about that cash flow than it is about cap. But I'd love, as this offseason unfolds, we'll get a little bit more expert testimony, if you will, on that, because that's not me. I'm not an expert on the inner workings of the Niners' finances.
Nor am I, and I do think that cash-wise, you're right, Jed York has been very forthright in doing whatever it took to pay the cash now and have the cap hit be down the road, and you have so many restructures and you have so many voidable years and all the other contract mumbo-jumbo that fans don't mostly care about, but I do look at the dead cap number that you have right now, and just looking at overthecap.com, they have the most dead cap money of any team in the NFL. And that is something salary cap wise, you can't offset that with a cash payment. Because, for example, Deebo Samuel, you can't cash him out one time. He's no longer a Niner when the trade goes through. So that dead cap money, that just hits your salary cap. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't spread that out over multiple years. That is the chickens coming home to roost. And so I do think when you look at that number, and the base salary cap, according to this, is $279 million, and your dead cap number is $66 million, which is about a fourth of your overall cap. So about a quarter of your overall salary cap is dead money, money that you aren't going to get anything for. So I do think for the first time, you actually do have somewhat of a cap constraint. And, you know, the cash is the cash. Jed York's got enough money. He can spend his money if he wants, doesn't have to.
That's right. And 10% of the team goes up for sale as well, which makes you scratch your head when you think about all this as well.
Good point.
Like, again, that's a cash flow thing. So it's not like Jed's not having dinner tonight. I just don't know. There must be some sort of discomfort with the numbers that he's been doling out over the last couple of years. And then to suddenly be faced with 6-11 and your quarterback, that'll exacerbate the situation. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. First of all, I would like to thank the men and women of 95.7 The Game, the greatest sports talk radio station in the entire USA, for putting together, you know, that event yesterday, the knockout. I mean, for fans of myself, just being able to be on that court in the very house that Wardell Steph Curry made and built. What a feeling! I mean, it's totally priceless just to be on that court, you know, getting up shots. And it's totally priceless. I think it's a safe bet that I will never, ever again experience that in my lifetime. And before I go, you guys are talking about the 49ers. I think I'm going to be right about this one. They're stuck between a hard place and a rock because they are down in a hole, feeling so small, down in a hole, losing control.
It's so good, Jonathan.
It's so good. Jonathan, I want to fly.
Jonathan is not only on point with the lyrics today, but he was hitting the chords.
He was. Well, nice Allison Chains there.
Yeah,
down
Allison
in the hole.
Chains.
Strong.
And what a feeling. Don't forget about that off at the start. And I asked Jonathan personally yesterday.
Irene Cara.
Yeah, make sure you put together some ditties based on today.
Right.
And Jonathan was there. And Jonathan, don't say that you'll never be on that floor again, because with how much you listen, I'm going to put my money on you being there again next year.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And he got one of the late at-large wild card berths. And I'm not sure if he survived his heat or not.
I don't think I saw. He wasn't in the final.
No, was he
with us, Grandy? No, he was not in the final.
Yeah. And Grandy would know. Grandy had his eyes on all the finalists. He was was sizing up everybody. It was pretty
funny. Grandy has been to everybody's house within the last month or so to sort of like assess people's strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
My God. Absolute intensity from this man. It was crazy to, because I was in his heat too. And we went through the last probably three or four rounds of the opening heat with him right behind me.
And yeah, he hip-checked me one time.
I did give you a little hey, how you doing? That's because we're friends. And I was walking by you, and you do what guys do when they walk by friends. It's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, give him a little something, you know what I mean? Old man basketball. But anyway, point being is, there's like, it's not like you're a heavy breather, but like you could just feel his presence. Very intense being around you at this event,
the
Mark.
The champ.
Yeah.
I apologize. I can't remember the listener's name, but he came up to me while we were shooting around before the event started, and he said, oh, hey, you're Grandy, right? You won last year. Like, yeah, I got it done last year. And he asked me what place I was going to come in this year. I told him, well, first, of course.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, please, of course you're not going to come in first. And then after I had won, he came up and he apologized after the fact.
I mean, no apology necessary, but yeah, like it's not like if the Boston Celtics win the title again this year. It's like more unlikely than that. To have the same person win a 65-person knockout tournament, that's just stupid.
It's like, yeah, UConn winning the NCAA tournament back-to-back years.
No, no, oh, it's not. It's way, a little bit way more like, unlikely than that.
It's more like the Kentucky Derby, where you get 20 horses and you break from the gate and it's just an absolute mishmash of who knows what. And, you know, Grandy could have had one bad free throw and had somebody behind him just make it. And he's out.
Yeah.
You know? He misses, the person behind him makes it, and it's just over.
That's what happened to Willard. One of the few times you missed, I made it right after.
And by the way, I made my putback, but he's quick.
Yeah.
He did, like, that's your thing. You go after, like, because there was one where you missed, and I made my shot, but you had already put your layup in. You're very, very, like...
It's the strategy.
Yeah, that's the strategy.
Very efficient.
Like, goes intensely after his miss to put it back in. You can't get it up in time.
I caught a stray from Goo.
Cut that. Pause. Anyway, go
I caught
ahead.
A stray from Goo this morning. I was listening as they began their show, and Goo starts, as only Goo would. Is this me being a hater? and then he says, but Grandy, he was jumping, and he was leaning forward on his shots.
Yeah.
That's the strategy. You get closer to the rim so you can get your put back.
There's nothing illegal about that.
Congratulations to Grandy on just being really good at the niche event of knockout.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what Shasky said this morning.
Are you good at anything else?
Nope, just knockout.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, I like to think I'm somewhat naturally athletic.
According to most of the hosts on this station, this is the only thing he's good at.
You got to be good at making a turkey sandwich.
Oh, of course.
Like, there's, yeah. I mean, right?
Arguably
5 days
a week.
Just out of repetition, I would think that by now you're pretty
done
good
right
at
now, yeah.
10,000 hours, right?
He's good at taking care of his teeth. We know that.
Well.
I'm laughing because.
What's the dentist appointment on Friday, dude?
The second you said that.
Dentist next week.
I look over at him and he kind of does, like, lips together and does, like, a little, like, teeth lick. Like, that made you very uncomfortable. There's the ground.
It's really inside baseball.
Yeah, it is.
It's too inside.
It is.
Anyway. Right.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
Here's the other thing that, to me, strikes a little bit of fear as a 49er fan. We haven't played this one yet. This is also from Schefter, also on McAfee. And on this one, Ayuk is the central figure. But listen to what he says.
Well, again, I think that the 49ers in their particular financial situation are open to listening on just about anybody, right? And so if there's a team out there that is willing to take on the Brandon Ayuk contract with him coming off the torn ACL, I'm sure they would listen, absolutely. But again, you've got to find a team that's willing to take on the player with the injury, with the contract. That's not a simple thing to do. Look, if there's no knee injury, it's a simple deal. But because there's a knee injury, because he may miss the first half of next season, and there are questions about, you know, when he'll get back next year, there are a whole host of pending issues. But the Niners, again, for them to play in the free agency sandbox, they're going to have to find ways to clear out salary, whether that's through Brandon Ayuk or Jordan Mason or any other player that they don't bring back or let go. They have to find ways to get money to help field the kind of roster that they want. So if an offer comes in on Brandon Ayuk and there's a team out there that's willing to take on that particular situation, I'm sure they would be open to listening to it.
Okay. The idea that they're open to listening on Brandon Ayuk is not brand new. But what he said there at the beginning, where it's like basically they'll take a call about anybody on the roster right now. Now, I don't think the Niners are going into some sort of fire sale, but good Lord, it sounds like they want someone to think that that's what's about to happen. Again, the question I always ask when you hear these reports, why does this reporter know this? Why did someone tell Adam Schefter this so that he could say it on the Pat McAfee show?
Because they're open for business. And I do think that the sentiment that he's delivered now in both of those cuts is they are not in financial cap hell, but they are open to a deal that would help them create some financial room so they could go out there and do the things that they need to do. Because if you end up drafting 12 or 13 players, that in and of itself is going to eat up some of the cap that you have right now.
All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We've got some breaking news with regard to tonight's Warriors game that we'll pass along in just a moment. Warriors Live, half hour away, and a special treat for you next as well. Gentleman named Vincent is going to join us. This will make you smile. Wait till you hear what just happened to Vincent, one of our faithful listeners here at 95.7 The Game. This is Willard and Dips.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, check this out. This is awesome. Warriors Live in a half hour. Karl Anthony Towns is out tonight. Personal reasons. He's out.
All right.
We're waiting on the word from Steph and the Warriors.
The chef.
Okay, don't know yet. Still questionable. We'll let you know as soon as we know. Game starts in 90 minutes. So there's that. And,
which is awesome.
Awesome. MSG. Here we go. Two nights in New York.
The God.
With a night off in between.
Mm.
This is phenomenal.
Yep.
Okay? Get the road trip going. This will kind of make you feel like the Philadelphia loss is okay if you can win tonight. All right. So there's all that.
Yep.
But check this out. Joining us on the River Islands guest line, a very special guest. I want to remind everybody, if you're a faithful listener of the station, no doubt over the last month, you heard us talk about the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest.
It's the best contest we've ever had.
Exactly. It made certain members of our staff want to quit so that they could become eligible. However, that's a bad bet because this was a national contest.
Mm.
Do you know how many stations Odyssey has across the nation that were a part of this?
A lot.
Grand total.
Nothing.
Keep going.
Thank you.
We're up to 27 stations were a part of this, and over a quarter million people got into the contest.
Wait, a quarter million people?
Over a quarter million entries.
Shut the front door.
No. Keep it open.
I'm going to leave the door open.
Over a quarter million entries. And to jar your memory further, this was the contest where you get a flight, you get a room, you're staying at the Circa,
right.
You're out there watching college hoops.
You're burying the lead.
At Stadium Swim. I'm not burying the lead. I'm building to it.
Okay, my bad.
And upon arrival,
yeah?
You get $20,000.
Major bag alert.
Cash. Okay?
How do I win?
You got to quit.
Okay.
So over a quarter million entrants, over 27 stations.
Okay.
Guess who won?
You got to do your voice now.
One man. A man who listens to 95.7 The Game.
No way. We got the winner?
We got the winner, and we didn't just get the winner. The winner is here. The winner is Vincent. Vincent.
Vincent.
Welcome to the show.
Can you guys hear me?
We got you, man.
Vincent.
Right on.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. This is just having you reread the whole
fries, you know, has got me amped up again.
And just so you know, I didn't read it. I did that completely from memory. That's how badly we all wanted to have this winter be a part of our station. So first off, thank you for listening, because people don't know, in order to qualify for this, you had to listen at least an hour a day. I know you told our producers that you like to listen around crossover time. That means a ton to us. So thank you for listening. Congratulations. And the other reminder for our listeners is that all of those things come to this winner plus three guests. So this is a winner and three guests on a weekend in Vegas in March at the Circa. So my first question to you is, what time is your flight and where would you like me to meet you?
That's a great question.
Thank you very much.
Count that.
Yeah, count that. Count it one time.
I thought I'd have to get one of those in at least.
Good job, nice. Vincent. Yeah. No, yeah. Seriously, have you thought about this? First, start with that. Who are you bringing?
It's been a crazy day. I've been trying to figure that out. I don't have it's another great question. I don't have an answer to that.
Wait a minute. Did you just find out today?
I found out. I got an email last night, you know, around 4, and then it all came together today through emails. And to quote Priest, this fish was stinking from the head up. I was like, this has to be a scam.
Right.
You know, like, I need your ID. I need, you know, your social security number. I'm like, babe, this can't be real. That contest I was telling you about, 20 grand and going to a trip to Vegas, I think I won it. Like, what?
So at what point were you able to get the confirmation sensation that you needed? Because I'm with you. I get a lot of these emails where it's like, you know, we need your social security.
It's not like sending you anything.
Your eBay has been hacked, and you look at the email address, and it's like 17 random letters and numbers. It's like, you're not eBay. So how did you officially get the confirmation you needed?
I did a lot of Googling. Okay. I went straight to the Odyssey website. I emailed their support team and was like, this said person's emailing me. You checked where the email was, kind of the whole thing, and just kept getting confirmation sensations left and right. And, you know, lo and behold, it's probably around 11, maybe 10 this morning, and I was just like, it's real. This is real.
Okay, yeah. So
and that's a buck, by the way. Yeah. So now you're down to 19,999.
Exactly. But Vincent, when it registered that this was real, what'd you do? What was your first reaction? Who'd you talk to?
Oh, I called my partner, my fiance.
Okay. Oh my gosh, when are you getting married?
We don't have that on the books yet, but maybe some of this, you know, 20 grand will help go towards that, you know, if I don't go gambling it all away.
Well, maybe you get married at Circa. Da 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 da. I mean, March Madness turns into marital madness, am I right?
I mean, it could.
Yeah, you never know.
Okay, have you thought about this yet, though, Vincent, the 20 grand? Like, have you got a strategy? How much are you gambling? Are you gambling any of it? How much is going to table settings next year? That kind of stuff.
I want to say it's mostly going to not gamble.
Okay.
Whether it's bills, finances, you know, I got a 3-year-old daughter and so there's a lot going on. I'm a family guy, so it's going to family stuff for the most part.
Dude, good for you, Vincent.
Yeah.
And by the way, take it from somebody who's getting married in July, 20K, if you want to do kind of a wedding on a budget, that's about the number you're looking at.
Go on.
And by the way, yeah, that's on a budget. That's a wedding on a budget, 20 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty aware. That's why the wedding hasn't happened quite yet.
I got it.
Yeah, and take it from me, a guy who has a 2.5-year-old who just dropped $200 on shoes and flip-flops and swimsuits for our upcoming vacation. Those kids aren't cheap now.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Vincent, what's your favorite game in Vegas?
I want to say blackjack.
Okay.
All right.
Now, talk me through this. The dealer has a 9 showing.
Oh boy.
And you have a 15. What do you do, hotshot?
Well, I'm going to stay, but you can't ask that question to every guy that talks about blackjack on the station.
Well, I mean, I can. You know, I mean, we're professional interviewers. You know what I mean? By the way, Vincent, the book says you should be hitting. If the dealer's got a 9 showing and you got a 15, I need you to man up and hit on that.
Especially with 20 grand in your pocket, Vincent.
Not doing it. I got to play it safe.
You got to double down on that 15 with 20 large.
Do not double down.
Have you been to Circa or have you been to Vegas? Like, what's your overall Vegas experience in your history?
I've been a few times when I was younger, as a kid, and then I've gone once as an adult, and it wasn't the best experience being in my young 20s.
Oh,
I get that.
Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, you're rolling with 20 large, and Circa, as you will see, they boast the longest bar, one contiguous bar that is probably like a quarter mile long. You're going to love it.
Sounds great.
Oh, Vincent, congratulations. Yeah, I would, just my suggestion on the 10 minutes that we've gotten to know you here, I want you to take at least 18 of that grand and put it away, right away.
That sounds great. Yeah. There's taxes too, you know?
They're coming for you next year, Vincent.
Yeah, no doubt,
yeah,
right?
But give yourself a grand or two to go have a weekend, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're short on friends, and it sounds like you haven't yet decided on your full complement of people, I know a guy who is, on the radio and mostly lonely, who'd love to be your buddy for 36 hours or so.
Vincent, I'm sure you've got a lot of those friends.
Vincent, he's not kidding. That's the other thing.
Vincent, I'm also not kidding about the fact that I actually will be there, for those days as well. So you may be walking through the Circa and see a balding, slightly desperate-looking guy half in the bag. It is me.
All right.
Oh, so
I'll be on the lookout.
Please do.
It.
Yeah, if you're behind somebody at the sports book who bets on Bethune-Cookman, you know who you're behind. Hey, Vincent,
I know, right?
Thank you so much for listening. Congratulations to you. The best of luck with your young family and your wedding. Keep us posted. And above all, just have an absolute blast in Vegas in a few weeks at the Circa.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
All right, man.
Vincent.
There he goes. Vincent.
National contest, 250,000 entries, Vincent.
Vincent.
Yes. Like Grandy, cute story, 65 people, 51 of whom have never even seen a basketball. You won knockout. Good for you, Grandy. This dude, 250,000 people, national contest, dude. 20K is winner.
I'm impressed that he got the email at 4 in the morning and by 11 in the morning felt like he was comfortable enough to be like, confirmed, I won.
Am I right?
If somebody emailed me and was like, you just won 20 grand, send us your social security number, that would take me at least a month before I believed them.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And he Googled it, he vetted it, and he went through the whole thing. But go into your email right now, not now, but during the break, and count the number of emails that are either scam, spam, or sham. It's 87% of my emails.
For sure.
In my regular non-work one, it's like, that's a scam, that's spam, that's got to be a sham. Scam, spam, or sham. And this guy at 4 a.m. gets word that he's won 20 grand in a trip for four to Vegas. Delete.
What the hell's he doing up? The Newarka. There you go. What the hell's he even doing up at 4 in the morning?
Yeah, it's fair.
Which means probably perfect fit for Vegas, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a whole lot of fun.
That was
Holy
awesome.
Crap.
Vincent. That,
somebody who listens to our station knows everything about what we do on this show won that damn contest.
That's pretty awesome.
That's so wild.
We do so many of these national contests, And you almost never hear of, like, who does the winner or who gets the win. Some of our sister stations are doing a grand in your hand, $1,000.
Yeah.
And, like, you never have the winner be from here. That dude just won 20 large and a trip for four.
Incredible.
For him and his fiance and me and somebody else. We go, Vincent.
Right. We do have this Steph Curry update.
Oh.
It is not firm as of yet, but it sounds at least a little encouraging. This is what we've got with regard to MSG, the Knicks, and the Warriors tonight. From Steve Kerr, Steph Curry will warm up and attempt to play tonight.
Okay.
So their hope is that he plays. He's going to try to play. He will go through warm-ups, and then they'll have a little chit-chat about how he's feeling and then go from there. And so that's up to the minute with regard to Steph Curry, and the game starts in an hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah, and I have thought all along that he would play because it's Madison Square Garden, but then again, when you think about the long game and the bigger picture, if he's not going to be right enough to go, then you hold him out. And something I saw earlier, Mark, from our good friend Jimmy Shapiro, and we get all these emails, you talk about scam, spam, or sham, and he's none of those, and he sends emails about updated odds, and I believe that the Warriors' odds to win the championship are now down to 18-1.
Are they really?
What I saw from this email is that they're now the sixth choice, not in the West, in the entire association. So the odds have gone from 66-1 pre-trade down to 45-1 down to, I believe, 18-1.
As of last night, they moved out of the play-in tournament for the first time. So maybe that has something to do with it. Speaking of odds, what was a 6-point number on this game literally an hour and a half ago is now down to 2.5. After the news that Steph is going to, quote, hopefully go, and that Karl Anthony Towns is out. So the Warriors now a 2.5-point dog up to the minute with regard to this game at Madison Square Garden tonight. And Warriors Live is 10 minutes away. Real quick also, on the basketball front, and by the way, as we mentioned, Warriors in New York City, Warriors Live 330 is presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. The Western Conference took yet another turn last night. And just hate it, whether it's a favorite player or not. Hate it whenever anyone suffers an injury like this. But a confirmed torn ACL for Kyrie Irving last night. And this is obviously something that it's out of anyone's control. But it got me thinking, because all of the sudden, literally going through everything that's taken place, from a Luka trade to an Anthony Davis injury to a Kyrie Irving injury to Lively and everything else that has gone on with the Dallas Mavericks, all of a sudden their best player or their most recognizable one is Klay Thompson, which is absurd because he's averaging about 13 or 14 points a game.
Yeah,
he's not good enough for that role. And so the Mavericks might have enough of a cushion to still be a play-in tournament team, but that team is dust. In fact, there's already rumors that Anthony Davis now will just sit out the rest of the year too because they're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
And I feel terrible for Klay Thompson. Now, he earned some of this. He turned into Pouty McPouts a lot. He did. And I think he drove the bus out of town more than the Warriors forced him out. I will forever believe that. But the parting of ways that took place, here's where I feel bad for Klay. Klay got schnookered. Klay got schnookered. Steve Kerr told us about a final meeting with Klay Thompson. He even told us the restaurant. It's at the Bottle Inn in Hermosa Beach.
I've been there. I've been there. No doubt.
It's a great Italian restaurant. It's really, really nice.
Restaurant quality.
Mwah. And they sat there, and he looked at Steve and said, I need a new start, and I'm going to go join the Dallas Mavericks, who are going to give me $50 million over 3 years after the Warriors had offered him $48 million over 2, reportedly. So now down to $17 million a year, even a little bit less. And he's going to go play with the Mavericks because he felt like they had an opportunity to really do something special with him alongside the pairing of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. And look at what the front office of that team has done after selling Klay on that idea. It's really unbelievable. The Kyrie thing is nobody's fault.
Right.
Except for the fact that you could argue, and this isn't really fair, but you could argue if you look at Kyrie's minutes and what ended up on his shoulders, especially in the wake of the Luka trade, this guy was playing close to 40 a night, and he's not a spring chicken either. So they sold him a complete bill of goods, and he took it, and don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? Klay Thompson is now sitting in Dallas. With what? What do you got as the Warriors championship odds go firing up the board?
Yeah.
What you got?
You don't have a lot, unfortunately. And yeah, you mentioned Kyrie, and he was having a great year. And so when you're Klay, I don't think that he knew, maybe they knew in the organization that they weren't going to keep Luka around. I can't speak to, you know, what Nico in the front office was thinking about Luka Doncic, but if you're Clay and you look at it and you want to have a new destination, you feel like what's happened here has already happened and you want to move on, that's a pretty attractive spot. Luka, Kyrie, and Clay, and they have a really good front line, a team that had just been in the NBA Finals. So I know that it looks like he was sold a bill of goods, but you don't know, and maybe they had already decided about Luka Doncic before Clay even came.
Well,
we don't know.
There had to be at least feelings about it.
Absolutely, because you know Luka was in line for the Supermax,
right.
And it was pretty clear that they didn't want to give him the Supermax. And so even if the Luka trade happens and you bring in Anthony Davis and you're Clay, you're still thinking, okay, I got Anthony Davis and Kyrie and me. It's still a viable big three. And then Anthony Davis gets hurt literally in the first quarter, I believe, of his time with Dallas, and he's out, and then now Kyrie gets hurt, and it's like, wow. So I do think that it looks like he was sold a bill of goods, and the Luka thing was a shock to everyone. Nobody would have seen that coming, but you do kind of feel for Clay looking at what they have now, because that's a lottery team.
By the way, not just this year. It's March. Kyrie Irving is not going to be anywhere near ready
until December.
For, even that's nine optimistic.
Months, yeah, for sure.
That's optimistic
well,
for him to be ready.
Well, he's 32, almost 33. You're
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So now next season is cratered as well because Anthony Davis and Klay Thompson and Derek Lively, that's not a top six seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And then what are you? Now you're 35. Now you're honestly, you're already looking to the third year of a three-year deal. If you're Klay Thompson, in the hopes that something will go well by then.
Klay's already 35.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
well over 35 years
yep.
old.
Oh,
Kyrie
yeah.
Irving will be 35. Anthony Davis, I don't even know age-wise, what will he be, 33 maybe by then? Like, this whole thing, and again, a lot of it is out of their control, but there had to be, before the season even started, clearly, there were feelings about the Luka Doncic marriage that the Mavericks were having, yet they went out on the open market, grabbed Klay Thompson, and said, we'd love to pair you with Luka and Kyrie. And so some of it out of their control, some of it in their control, but the bottom line to me is Klay got snookered.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot. And, you know, Kyrie next year has a player option, which I would imagine he will exercise for 43.9, and that's the final year of his deal. And you've got Anthony Davis with two more years and a player option, and, you know, his availability has always been in question, and you've got Klay, and you've got a bunch of young players that it does feel a little rebuildy in Dallas. And, you know, if you're Klay and you went to Dallas thinking, all right, this is my chance to get a fifth ring, a team that had just gone to the finals. We've got a big three, Luka gone, AD doesn't play, Kyrie torn ACL. And so now it's Klay, Gaffey, Najee, Christie, Lively, all the E's. I mean, they're a pretty good team, but they're not a threat.
No. And listen, this is going to sound like one of my best homer takes of all time.
Among many.
Well, but the bottom line is this.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fair. The bottom line is this. When you work for the Warriors, you work for a classy organization, you better think freaking twice when you leave.
Yeah.
Ask Kevin Durant. Ask Klay Thompson. I'm not saying they're not happier now. Maybe they are. Kevin wanted to leave. He did not like his reality. Klay
yep.
wanted to leave. He did not like his reality. And I hope that they're happy now. And there's all kinds of things with their life that we can't see. So I'm not here to judge that. But from a basketball sense, boy, you better be real. Think twice and then think again
yep.
before you leave. Because that's a classy place. And it doesn't always go well when you leave.
Yeah, boy, but if I'm Klay and I look at what I thought I was walking into, I probably felt really good about having Luka and Kyrie and me in a great front court and a team that was really close the year before, and now where are we?
Wow.
Yeah?
I mean, talk about driving everything into the ground.
Uh-huh.
We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Warriors Live is next as we track the warm-up of Steph Curry in his hopes to play against the Knicks in a big game tonight. That's next on Willard and Dips.